Hey, this is Chris from Premier Guitar. I'm with Ben from Dillinger Escape Plan. How you doing, Ben?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm very well. We're here in Madison checking out his gear.
Yes.
You are a big fan of ESP LTDs, and I've heard and I've seen on your Facebook page that there's a possible rumor about you getting a signature model.
Yes.
And if I can see by the 12th fret in the headstock, it might be true.
This is it. Yeah. This is the first one. I just got this for this tour, so I'm just trying out and making sure there's no little last-minute changes for it, but really happy with it so far. There's a lot of cool little special secrets about this guitar that I think makes it very conducive for a kind of diverse, well-rounded, actual touring musician.
I know that you've played the X-Tone for a while. What are some changes that you... I know that you originally were going with just the original pickups. Why did you choose to go with the EMGs?
The one thing I realized is, you know, when I record, I use different combinations of things for different tonalities. But when you're in the chaotic nature of a Dillinger shell, mm-hmm. where there's so many things you can't predict, it's really important to have certain constants and things like, you know, EMG pickups. I have an 85 and an 81, so it gives me some tonal, you know, variations. But these things pretty much sound good and the same no matter what the condition is. And so, you know, when you're traveling, when you're abroad, when you're in different places and different frequency things going on, like, these are pretty consistent regardless. But so that's one of the reasons in this model I do have the EMGs in this one right now.
You got the Evertune bridge also too. What was the reason behind going there, besides obvious intonation?
Well, you know, when I first heard about the Evertune, I was like, there's no better spokesperson for this thing than me, because, you know, it's like Murphy's Law for us. You know, if anything can happen wrong during our live show, it will. And it could be anything from, like, my head, someone jumping on stage and grabbing my guitar, you know, and the tuning pegs turning, to, like, me falling into the drums, or, like, you know, just throwing our gear around so much and being so physical on stage that anything that'll help keep things steady and stable is just a comfort. And enables us to kind of have that free expression without worrying so much about gear. And the Evertune was, like, to me, when I first heard about it, I'm like, if this works, it's like one of the greatest inventions since the electric tuner. And it is. So, for people who don't, you want me to talk a little about the Evertune? Like, a lot of people don't know about it, but it's a bridge that basically sets the tension for each individual string. So you tune the actual guitar over here in the bridge with a key, and that sets the tension for the string. So you can tune it to whatever tuning you want, you know, drop D, E, whatever. And then once you set that tension, it remembers it. So, and it's completely mechanical. There's no electronics in it, which is what I like. I've seen other companies try to make, like, tuning devices that will tune your guitar electronically with a battery and whatever, and none of them really work, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But this thing it's like magic. It's like a clock. There's nothing in it except things that make it work somehow with physics and nature, you know? And so what it does is, once you set that tension, it adjusts the tension no matter what happens to the string. So if it's sitting on a guitar boat in a festival and the moisture and the heat all day, mm-hmm. and things change and the wood changes and the strings change, it stays in tune. It adjusts for it. If you even turn the pegs, you know, like... It doesn't really, stays in tune. You can, when you put new strings on, you don't have to spend all day stretching them, because it'll just it'll stretch naturally, and it'll adjust according to the tension of the string. And the other thing that's really good for me is that I pick so hard. It's part of what I do, my tone, and just how we play, is I pick very aggressively. And so in the studio, I tend to pick so hard that I pull the guitar sharp a lot when I'm playing. So you can actually set the string so that it doesn't waver in and out of tune, even if you want, like, bend it. So, like, right now it's set to bend. But you can... You can make it so... You can set it so it won't even change if you bend it. So then when you're doing rhythms... You can pick very aggressively and it holds tune. So in the studio, it's really beneficial. And then you can have the rest, you know, they can have that flexibility for the rest of the guitar. So it's been really great for me.
obviously. About the body woods? Top and looks like a flame maple.
Yep, that's what it is. It's flame maple. It's semi-hollow body, so it does have a lot of real estate in this area of the guitar, but the semi-hollow body is nice if you want to switch to a warmer tone, if you want to play jazz, if you want to play even just unplugged and have a little more volume, it's great. The other really cool thing about this thing is I've built my wireless into the guitar.
Is it patent pending, or has it been approved yet?
I haven't checked. Maybe it is.
You haven't gotten the yet.
Yeah, but this has changed my life a lot because I've always had trouble with cables. It's as simple as like you're walking, you step on it, and it pulls out and it breaks, or you're playing aggressively and it slams onto your leg. And when people start talking to me about the possibility of going wireless, they're like, if anyone should be wireless, it should be you. And I'm like, well, you know what? A wireless can break just as easily as a cable, honestly, and it's a lot more expensive. So, I said, what would actually make it just foolproof, you know? And I realized, like, well, it's wireless. It can go through, the frequencies can go through wood, so why not just build it into the guitar? So what we did is we made this is magnetized. So it actually, you don't have to worry about unscrewing it in order to get to the components. And then I just have my wireless right here, just plugged in with an additional input jack.
Does that come with, people that buy this off the shelf, or is this just the bend?
We're still discussing. I don't think maybe the first models will, because right now it may just be a little too costly to do it on a production model. We're not sure, but so many people are requesting it.
For sure.
That, I don't know, maybe it's something we'll figure it out. For me, it's changed my live performance completely. 99% of any problem I've ever had has been eliminated by just putting this in there, turning it on, and then having it out of the way and being able to just play, you know. There's a lot of things we had to figure out, though, because initially, typically, there's screws on a back plate, so in order to turn the wireless on and off and pull it on and in and out, it's difficult if there's screws. So the magnet's been really cool, and that's something I'm trying out, so... That's pretty much it, you know.
Is there anything else that you specifically kind of were looking for
through as opposed to bolt on, which gives a lot more strength,
gotcha.
Stuff like that. But you know, otherwise it's pretty. It has a bigger scale neck so that you can actually do, you know, the typical X tone has a shorter scale neck. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but
Gibson style.
Yeah, it's Gibson style. So like most of these guitars do have that style, but for me, like playing. Like basically, typically metal stuff, you know, like I need to have the reach of a lot of the higher frets and stuff like that, especially for the songs we've already written. I need to get up there.
Yeah.
So that's different. I mean, it's got like, you know, much more range with also the benefits of the body, you know.
You already mentioned tuning. For me, doing your research and following you guys, that I was surprised to find out that you play in standard.
Yeah.
And so, you know, obviously, since you do play in standard, what strings do you use for that?
Just tens.
Ernie Balls, D'Addario.
Ernie Balls.
Okay.
Yeah.
And why do you? I guess. People typically think like, you know, with a louder, heavier, aggressive band in the 2000s that they assume it's gonna be drop C.
Yeah.
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 Why do you feel the need, or not the need, but
why
stay?
Don't
yeah.
That well. Well, it's. I mean, we started out. I started. You know, you pick up a guitar, you learn. It's typically an E. You buy your first guitar from a garage sale or wherever you get it, and it's typically an E. So you start learning your first songs in E, and so I just started writing songs in E, and then the first heavy, aggressive bands I ever listened to were bands like Metallica and Slayer, and bands that really focused more on the riff and the songwriting than like kind of the tunings or the strings or even effects pedals. It was, you know, it was basically an amp and a riff, you know, and that's was always really inspiring to me, and that's how I came up. So when I did start playing this kind of heavier music, and started the band, and we started just naturally writing in the standard E. As more bands started tuning down, the tuning down thing started to happen right around when we started. New metal started getting really big. Bands like Korn were tuning really low and stuff like that. So even just to differentiate ourselves, just staying in standard actually kind of gave us our own sound, ironically.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess since we're done with your guitar, how about we check out the amps you're using right now?
Sure. I'm using the... Mesa Mark V's, the Mesa Boogie Mark V's, and these are really extremely versatile. Three channels.
They look versatile.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as intimidating as it looks. It's basically three channels. You have the EQ section, the bars which is really cool because a lot of amps don't have that. Like,
yeah,
the
sliders.
Yeah, yeah, the Mark series heads always had those, and I always liked that because you can have like a lot of tonal adjustments with that. But it's cool because not only do you have that, but you can kick it on and off with the foot pedal.
All right.
So you can go from like a pretty mid-range, just like rock sound, to some kind of a scooped metal sound, like with a just like with a button push, mm-hmm. you know. And so that gives you a lot of options, and you can really adjust every channel. You can turn that on and off for every channel individually. Every single channel has its own reverb controls, which you can also control on the foot pedal and turn on and off, you know, which is nice. You know, so that's another function that's really useful.
Tonally, what do you like about this? Because I know that you use a lot of amps in studio, but yeah. you know, people associate you live years yeah. back with Triple Rec. So what do you hear
well,
like different?
Triple Rec, I love, man. They always had like, for music like ours, they were really cool because they're just like gnarly sounding, you know? Yeah. The Mesa stuff is, it's not as, you know, maybe it's not as tight as another amp or as clean as another amp, and maybe the clean isn't as, you know, great as like a twin reverb or something like that. But the distortion is always very obnoxious.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of music we are. We're in your face, we're bright, we have a lot of attack in our music. Mm-hmm. So we're not just kind of like a chugga rhythm type of metal band. We have a lot of bright highs and chords and
so
things.
You guys stay away from being like a really low thud band. You guys have a good mid-range, or at least you personally
yeah,
with your sound.
Exactly. I mean, I still consider guitars like a mid-range instrument, and that's where I feel like it sits in a mix mm-hmm. for us. So the ability to add a lot of, you can see I have like a lot of mid range here. These, you know, like in my, you know, look, my mid is like all the way up. Like, and most bands today don't do that except for maybe like classic rock bands or something like that. But that's what gives bite to me. That's what really makes the amp come alive. And
are you using all three channels throughout the set list?
I use just a clean channel, a mid kind of gain channel, and then my full distortion channel. And then I also add some more distortion with the Swollen Pickle.
And what about, I know that you guys are known for various things, but one of the things that I find that I attracted to your guys' band is like the quick dynamic changes that, you know, it's yeah. like 43% burnt and all those types of songs throughout your guys' catalog in up to the new one, Prancer. How do you do that through the amp and the amp switcher, or how are you getting
yeah,
like those?
I'm doing mostly everything just using the three channels
okay.
and just, you know, the characteristics of how you play and stuff like that.
So this rack here above your amps, what's the story behind this?
This was built in order to have it so that I can actually just remove it from my head case and carry it with me on planes and stuff. And there's also
is it FAA approved?
I don't know. But probably not. They probably will arrest me if they ever open it. But yeah, it's just basically the things that I would take with me for fly gigs. It makes life a lot easier. And This is AB button, just it lets me switch guitars when I need to. I have direct boxes so that, like, if microphones or things fail on stage, the sound guy can go right to a direct signal. And I also have an isolation cab in the back, which most of the sound that's coming into the house is coming from that isolation cabinet. So we've pretty...
What is the cabinet back there? Speaker even?
Yeah, it's just the 30-watt. If you can see it back here.
Apparently it's not a drink holder.
Yeah, that's... But, yeah, it's this Randall isolation cab. I don't know if you want to check it out, but it's great because you don't get the bleed from the house into the microphone. So you're getting a really clean signal. And something about it being contained in this box, I think, makes it heavier and beefier. It sounds, like, thicker. And it's just a regular 30-watt vintage 30 in there.
Is that just your monitor up here, the cab?
That's what I'm using basically as a monitor. Yeah, that we're not even typically miking that because we have the direct line, we have the isolation cab, and we have plenty to go. So for me, that's just so I have some sound on stage cranking.
Cool. Well, let's check out your pedal board and I guess hear some of the different sounds that you're using.
So my clean. That's my basic clean tone. And what I do is, and then my mid. So that's like my middle range tone, and then this is my... And then when I go into, for like an extra overdrive section, I kick onto my clean and just go into this.
do that versus, like, you know, stacking in front of the second channel or even
sometimes
the third channel?
I do, but it's honestly, it tends to have a little more focus when you just keep it on the cleans. You know, it actually sounds heavier on the clean than it does on the, because I think it's just made to be a standalone distortion, really. And I mess with it all the time. Sometimes I add a change on the, I honestly mess with my tone sometimes every day a little bit, because every room sounds different. Like, I haven't even done it yet today, but it's not sounding where I usually want it to be even yet, so I'll probably start messing with it, you know. As soon as it's done. So. And then I just use, this is like the Dimebag Darrell Wah, which actually I just think, you know, regardless if you're a fan and his or whatever, it's just a really versatile Wah. Like, it has a lot of characteristic in it. And it actually has a lot of different functions, you know, different capabilities of, like, pressing the knot. Like, it has buttons, I don't even know what all of them do, but different tonal qualities and things like that, and different ranges of dynamics you can adjust within the Wah itself, too. So that's nice.
What specific songs are you using the Wah, or you just kind of switch it up
honestly,
and just whatever feel it?
You know, it's funny, like, I never play anything exactly the same twice, ever. Like, any kind of, like, typical solo. A lot of our parts sound solo-y, but they're actually defined parts. But when I do solo and stuff, I change it every time. So sometimes it'll be like, I just feel like having a little more character, or I'm just near my pedal board, and it's more important for me to just, like, just dive in and start doing it than to run across the stage. So whenever I feel like it, whenever I'm near my pedal board, when I'm doing a lead, it just adds more characteristic. It adds feeling. Well, it adds feeling to any single note, so that, you know, line, really, honestly. So,
and one thing I know that's not on your board anymore that I've seen in other videos you've done years back is a delay pedal or an octave. That was another thing that you mentioned that you sometimes use for solos to give an added characteristic. Totally. Why did peel those off the board?
I've been going more for simplicity these days as much as possible. Like, you know, I like our last album was called Option Paralysis. And it really was symbolic of the infinite amount of options we have in this day and age with technology. And around the time of that, putting out that record, I decided, like, to try to simplify things a little bit more and just focus on the music and the playing as opposed to, like, tap dancing with a million effects or, like, 1,000 presets or computers and stuff like that. And that's maybe another thing that differentiates us from a lot of the other heavy bands right now, using, like, the Axe effects or whatever. And, like, I still just love, like, tube amplifiers and simplicity and just playing, you know. So.
And what about, I know that I read that you actually had, like, broken your hand or arm at one time. How did that, has that ever affected or changed the way you play? Or I know that you do tapping once in a while and there's certain songs. Has that changed anything with the injury?
I mean, I've had arm injuries and stuff like that. And that definitely put me out of commission for a little bit. But it never stopped my creativity. Like, you know, if I wasn't able to play guitar because of an injury, I'd sit on a piano or I'd sit on a computer and program beats and ideas and stuff like that. So, like, while we do like simplicity, the whole band does. I mean, you see, none of us have like 1,000 pedals and, like, you know, and look how simple for a metal our drum set setup is. You know, it's like one rack tom, and like we just feel like sometimes limitations create more creativity. Yeah, I mean, we certainly embrace technology at the same time. It's as a tool, not a crutch. So, like, we've always used anything we can to create, whether it's him playing on a bucket backstage and me recording or jamming with my hollow body, which has more volume, and just being able to put a phone up to it and track it, or, you know, arranging things in a computer or using plugins or different ideas to create tones and sounds and then inspire ideas, like happy little accidents that create ideas. You know, we've always been open to technology. We just never wanted it to be a crutch. We wanted it to be our bitch, you know. We didn't never want it to be its bitch, you know. And so there's so many times when we've played with bands that because they're so reliant on technology, like when something goes down or something unpredictable happens, they literally can't even play their show. Like,
freaks them out.
Like, little, I mean, they can't. I mean, their whole show's programmed into something with presets.
Yeah.
And that's horrifying.
Do you guys use any presets? Because, like, in studio, you know, you throw keyboards, even horns on there, you know, the albums. Do you guys have trigger stuff, or how's that work?
Our drummer's been triggering a lot of those sounds out of his Roland SPD, whatever.
S.
S, X, that's it. We just got the new version.
Gotcha.
And you pre-program all those, right?
Yeah, well, we play a lot of it in, but then, you know, we prefer to hire that guy than another dude to sit on stage with a keyboard right now, so
yeah.
That's how we've been pulling it off.
And the last question is just simple as what guitar picks are you using?
Just these tortilla chips.
Yeah.
But anyway, I actually like these bigger. This one's a little worn down.
Why do you like the bigger pick?
You know what? Because they pretty much have the same surface, like, playing space as a normal pick. Like, a lot of people think it's like, it's basically a normal pick once you get to the part that touches the strings. But then you have all these other options to spin it around as it gets dull. You know, you have all these other parts to use of the pick. And then the way we play, things get so sweaty that I like having extra surface space, to be honest with you, just to grip. Because sometimes we play to such exhaustion and we push ourselves so far that we're literally holding on for dear life to our pick, to our guitars, to our drumsticks, and just covered in sweat and so fatigued, you know. So it's like, it's just an extra benefit to have more surface space to just clip, grab onto.
And when you're thinking about your signature, just any guitar you're using, because your guys' stage show and, you know, people getting on stage, are there any specifics you get to think about? Or since you're, you know, jumping off stacks all night, do you have to, you know, is that why you gravitate to the semi-hollow, or is it?
The semi-hollow does take a little weight out of it, which helps for sure. And the Evertune keeps it in tune when you're active, and the neck through as opposed to bolt time, and the strap, you know, I use like these stretchy things because it helps my neck and back a little bit. Makes a big difference, padded, you know, stretchy things, but you can't really prepare for everything, you know, you just got to go for it. But yeah, I've certainly throughout the years tried to make adjustments that help it, my show a little easier.
Well, Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you.
If people want to check out your album, which will be out Tuesday, but in the internet, this won't be up yet. So by the time you can see this, it'll be out. One of Us is the Killer. I don't know. Is that like a Clue reference? You know, the board game Clue?
It is, but now it's out. It's pretty much apparent. It's the singer from As I Lay Dying.
I saw that.
I think that's who. I didn't want to say it, but it's the cat's out.
It wasn't like it was his wife.
Nah, that's pretty crazy. But anyway,
So it'll be out when people see this on the internet.
Exactly.
Where should they go online to check out stuff?
DillingerEscapePlan.org.
Awesome. Again, Ben, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Chris Keys for Premier Guitar. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to check out more Rig Rundowns and any other videos we post.